The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Tuesday, July 14th, 2009, and presidential release number 374. Shortly before the National Convention of the National Federation of the Blind, we had a joyous event here in Baltimore. Jesse Hartle has been working with us in our governmental relations department, and Mary Jo Thorpe has been working here at the National Center for the Blind. She has been a manager in our education department. The two of them were married on the 18th day of June, so congratulations to the Hartles. They have been dating one another for these years, and we have been encouraging them and wondering about them, and they are the most joyful two people I think I have seen in a long time. Congratulations to Mary Jo and to Jesse. It would be difficult to find two finer people than those two, and I hope they have a long and a joyful life together, and I'm sure they will. Also, shortly before our convention, we got a piece of very sad news. Harold Snyder, who at one time had served as president of the National Federation of the Blind of the District of Columbia, died suddenly, apparently of a heart attack, on June 26th. So Linda Snyder is his surviving wife, and you might keep Linda in your prayers along with his children. It is sad to have to report his death. I suppose the most exciting thing that happened since the last time we made a presidential release is the convention of the National Federation of the Blind. And you will hear a lot about the convention of the National Federation of the Blind in the monitors that are coming up. It was a splendid time in Detroit. The Detroit Hotel, which is the Renaissance Center, has had a refurbishment since we were last there, and it is an excellent place to be. It's a little small for us now. It was a little tight the last time we were there in 1994, but it was very tight this time. I remember 1994 as being a time when I was frequently lost. However, I must have remembered the hotel some from that time because I was less lost this time, and I had a good idea of how to get around the hotel. It's a round hotel. It's a tall building which is shaped as a cylinder that shoots up into the sky about 72 stories. And I did not find myself with a whole lot of trouble trying to figure out where I was going. Some, as I always do, but not nearly as much. The program of the convention was a solid program. I have been talking throughout the spring about how it is that we were shortening the convention. We ended the convention at the banquet. The banquet is always a high point, and it was again this year. We finished the convention as the banquet came to a close, and I think that that was well received by the members, so I suspect we should do it again in future years. Our Michigan folks, Michigan Federationists, ably led by Fred Wurzel, did a spectacular job at the convention. Michigan has had some economic disadvantages, as I'm sure you know. When I was there, somebody said that the unemployment rate was at 14%, which is an enormous number. It is higher than the rest of the nation. And yet, with all of the disadvantages, our Michigan affiliate did a great job hosting all of us at the convention. And the grand prize at the banquet was $1,809, This is a symbol because Louis Braille was born in 1809. So in the congratulations that I think of these days about our convention, I offer congratulations to our Michigan affiliate and to its president, Fred Wurtzel. Barbara Loos is from Nebraska. She has been to these conventions for these many decades. She and Brad could not come because Brad has cancer and he was undergoing cancer treatment, which prevented the two of them from participating in the convention. But we greeted them from the convention floor. And on Tuesday afternoon, when we were greeting them, I think it was Tuesday, Brad was awake during that time to hear the greeting from the convention, and Barbara was there, so we greeted them both. It was a delightful time to greet them, and we streamed the convention, which is why they were able to hear it. We talked about the Louis Braille commemorative silver dollar, and we sold the silver dollar at the convention, many, many thousands of them. We have more available here if you want them. You can buy them from the Mint, and that is a good way to do it, but you can also buy them here from our center, the Independence Market here in Baltimore. If you got them at convention, you could buy them without paying shipping, but of course the convention is over. The silver dollar, as I said in the presidential report, was scheduled for a launch into space on May 11th. As it happens, I was at the launch of the space shuttle on May 11th. It carries a payload of 22,500 pounds. And as the head of the NASA launch said when I was down there, this time the payload is 22,500 pounds and 2 ounces, because two of the coins went up on the space shuttle as planned on May 11th. They've been to space. We talked about the journey of Braille from the hands of the Creator into Earth orbit. There are so many things we talked about at the National Convention. Fred Schroeder has been responsible for managing our coin, the Louis Braille coin, and the distribution of that coin. He was there to make a presentation about the importance of that coin and the value of the people that that coin symbolizes. You will also hear that on the upcoming monitors as we go forward. Shortly before the convention, we have been talking throughout the spring about electronic books and how it is that we want to be able to get at the content of electronic books on the machines that are being made. The current one that has been a problem is the Kindle, which came out with a text-to-speech function, but then the authors complained, or at least the Authors Guild did, and the fellows who build this product said that they would let the authors turn off the text-to-speech. Our position has been all along that if you buy a book, you have a right to get at the content, and how you get at the content is your business, not the author's business. When you buy an electronic book, what you buy is a file with a bunch of electronic information in it. You do not buy images or sounds. You just buy that file, and how you get at the file to transmit it from electronic information into something that your brain can comprehend is your business, and we think that the authors have no right to turn off this text-to-speech feature. As it happens, I've been using text-to-speech or recorded material my life long. Well, we asked the President of the United States to consider making a statement that the books that he has written will be hearable on these machines. This has not happened yet, although we're not finished with the request. But we did have a meeting in the White House office building shortly before the National Convention, which was convened by office staff over there. There's a man named Kareem Dale, who is the person who's responsible for focusing attention on disability matters and the White House, and he asked that the Authors Guild and the National Federation of the Blind and a number of the publishers and some other people get together to talk about the importance of being able to hear electronic books. I participated in that meeting and made the presentation about our purposes and the importance of having that information be available to us. In the meantime, some of the universities have decided to use this technology for their course material. Well, they have an obligation to make course material as usable to the sighted as to the blind, or the other way around, as usable to the blind as to the sighted. And so we have filed lawsuits against some of them to say that unless they make it usable by blind people, it is prohibited to employ this technology. We talked about that at the national convention as well. In other words, things are astir. As we come out of the national convention, we start the Braille Education, Learning, and Literacy Program, the BEL program in Georgia. This is a program to teach children who are usually ages about 4 through 10 or 11 or 12 Braille during the summer. We're also going to do this in Maryland. This is a program to try to get education in the summer in Braille for these kids who can learn Braille when the school systems are not providing it. Also, we are planning for Youth Slam 2. This is the second of our Youth Slam programs, which we'll have as part of them. We'll bring 200 or thereabouts students here, blind kids, and we'll bring 80 or so mentors. Many of them are blind, the majority. And we'll put them together in a program that lasts a week. This one will mostly be conducted at the University of Maryland in College Park. It comes up at the end of July, so by the time the next release comes out, we should have finished that. We'll have engineering programs and meteorology programs and a whole bunch of others. We talked some time ago about building a vehicle that the blind could use, and there will be a prototype of such a vehicle that some of the students in this program can try. It's a golf cart type, so it isn't yet, say, an SUV, but, you know, you got to start someplace. This will be independently operable by blind people, we believe. Some of the students have already tested it, and there will be more testing and a lot of feedback about what to do. This convention is over, 2009. We brought it to a conclusion at the end of the banquet. We registered this time more people than we did last time. We're going to Dallas next summer. There will be some changes in our March for Independence because we think that it would be desirable to do something different in Dallas from what we did last time, although it was a good thing to do last time. We'll try something new, and we've talked about some changes in how we operate the program in the meantime. So some changes in the people who do the work will be happening. I've asked Kevin Worley to do some different things from this year and last year. And so somebody else will likely be doing some of the leadership on the March for Independence, although it certainly does cheer up Kevin when he does it. In other words, there are things afoot and lots of things happening. We also disclosed at this convention and made it clear that we are assisting with promoting KNFB Reader technology, the KNFB Reader Mobile, which is the cell phone that reads and also identifies money and does translation from one language to another and all that. We are helping with distribution. Mike Hingson is doing that. If you want to get a hold of him, you can reach him out in California. He's doing sales, and please get Mike Hingson so that he can get you a KNFB Reader Mobile. The price was as low as we've ever had it at this summer's convention. I don't know whether we're going to be able to keep that price, but for a telephone with a reader on it, and a talking program that will let you use other features of the phone. At least at the convention, it was being distributed for $1,595. So that is a splendid price. It started without having a screen reader on it at $3,495, and you see it's now at $1,595, which is an enormous reduction in cost in just over 2 years. Now, I should also tell you that we've had some state conventions since our last presidential release. We had one in Florida, and Dan Hicks was elected as our president there, so congratulations to Dan. I don't believe, had the chance to come to the coin launch, but it was in his state, so he gets credit both for being elected and for being the host state for the second launch of the Louis Braille coin into space. The first launch was here to let the country know that we had it. It was at the National Center for the Blind. We did not put it into space then, but we talked about putting it into space then. And these coins are going to be available only during the time that this year occurs, which is to say, by the end of 2009, you either buy them or the ones that the Mint hasn't been able to sell will be melted down and they'll no longer be sold by the Mint. You can probably get one from somebody who's bought one, maybe, especially if you offer enough money, but you can get them now while they're fresh and new from the Mint. I urge you to do it. It has been a joyous time. The convention was enormously enjoyable and a lot of fun, and we talked about a number of programs that we're going to be putting into effect during the next year. You'll learn about it in the monitor coming up if you weren't there. If you were there, you know how much fun it was, and you ought to prepare for next summer's convention. I realize it's a little early for that. As a matter of fact, the year divides almost equally into the convention season and the Christmas season, so we'll be coming to the Christmas season soon. You don't have to hurry about it because there's quite a bit of time left, but I hope that the joy of the summer is with you, and I look forward to the next presidential release coming up. This brings me to the end of the presidential release, and I have two offerings. One is from Diana Maurer, who incidentally graduated from college this spring, cheered her dad up a lot. Diana Maurer talks to me about people who are always dismal, and she refers to them as Debbie Downers. She says that the opposite of a Debbie Downer is a Chipper Charlie, and she urges me to be that. Fred Schroeder says, "What do you call a sleepwalking nun?" That would be a Roman Catholic.
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.